The Education Minister says the teachers' mega strike is not justified and it won't achieve any breakthrough in pay talks. Primary and secondary teachers will walk off the job for one day on the 29th of May in what will be the largest ever industrial action taken by teachers involving around 50,000 members. The Secondary Teachers Union, the PPTA, says its members have also voted for 5 weeks of industrial action after the strike, which is still to be planned. Chris Hipkins is frustrated by the standoff, but insists there is no more money in the budget for teachers.
I certainly don't think a strike is justified. These are some of the largest pay increases on offer anywhere in the economy. They're certainly right at the top end of what's being offered in the public sector. As I said, for most primary school teachers, it's a $10,000 pay rise. It's worth more than all of the pay rises that they received under the last government put together. And across the primary and secondary teacher settlement, it's $1.2 billion. That's a lot of money. New Zealanders do want to see teachers paid well, and they want to see teachers paid more, but they also want us to get serious about the mental health crisis. They want us to fix the housing crisis. They want us to lift children out of poverty. And this government is committed to doing all of those things as well. So we've got to get the balance right here.
Chris Hipkins, though, still hopes the strike can be averted.
We'd like to go back into facilitated mediation with the primary school teachers. We'd like to go into facilitated bargaining with the secondary school teachers. This is the first strike action for secondary school teachers. It's important that we sit around the negotiating table and work this out. Nothing is going to be achieved by going on strike. Ultimately, the government is here. We remain ready and willing to negotiate at any time.
But the minister admits the government's relationship with the teachers is strained.
That's to be expected. We've been really clear that we acknowledge the concerns that teachers have been raising, and we're working across the board on all of them, not all of the concerns that they've been raising. And of course, a significant number of the concerns they've been raising don't relate to pay, they relate to broader conditions. And some of those things are going to take a while to work through. For example, to address things like class sizes or classroom release time, you actually have to have more teachers. At the moment, we've got a shortage of teachers. So we've got to work on all of those things. We've got to recruit more teachers, train more teachers so that we can work on those broader issues. When they're talking about kids with special needs and not getting the help they need, for example, that comes with quite a hefty price tag as well. And this government's put over $500 million into dealing with that already, and we've only been in government for 18 months. So, you know, we're getting serious about the issues that they're raising, but we're never going to be able to solve every problem overnight. These problems have been over a decade in the making.
Chris Hipkins was not available for an interview this morning, but I spoke a few minutes ago with the Secretary for Education, Iona Halsted.
I can't stop the strike. Only the unions can stop the strike. But I have written to both of the unions and asked them to come back to facilitated bargaining as fast as possible, because it's only through dialogue that this is going to be resolved. So, and while the government has been clear that there is no more money, there are a range of other issues that the unions are raising, which are going to take different, there's going to have to be different ways that we're going to have to address them over a period of time. And so we need to work out what that process might be.
So you've asked to go back to facilitated bargaining. Have talks broken down? What is the relationship with the unions like at the moment? Are you not talking?
Yes, we've got a professional relationship with the unions, I think is the best way to describe it. But yesterday, you know, Jack did say publicly, on behalf of the PPTA, that he had been advised by his negotiators that there was nothing more to negotiate. So that's a fairly serious statement. But as I say, I wrote to the PPTA even before that comment because I really felt we needed the help that the ERA can give us.
So you're saying professional, but that they don't sound, you're saying the unions have sort of drawn a line. Are they being unreasonable?
Well, the unions have rejected the offers, and you'll have heard that play out publicly that they don't believe there's enough money. What the clear position is at the moment, and no evidence to suggest otherwise, the money is the money. So the question for me is, so what are we going to do about the other things, and what can we do about the things that don't require money immediately?
And what are they?
Well, I would go to issues around what I would describe as a sense that parts of the workforce, or the unions are telling us, are in crisis. And I don't quite understand the use of that word at the moment, because actually we've got more people coming into teaching and we've got more staying in teaching. And we also know that the government is just, you know, committed another $500 million to learning support and another 600 people.
So you don't agree that the teachers are in crisis?
What I'm trying to understand is when they talk about this crisis of workload, what is it that's driving it? Because we really do have to understand what's creating that problem in order to solve it. Just adding people won't address it.
But are you suggesting you don't believe the teachers when they say that they're swamped with workload, they're dealing with all these other things, they don't have classroom contact time? You don't believe them?
No, I didn't say I didn't believe them, but it's variable, entirely variable across the country and from school to school. So what drives workload in one situation isn't the same as in another. And that's the way our system operates. And it's very personal to the school.
And you think that are there ways outside the $1.2 billion money envelope, yep, to deal with that that could break this strike?
I think that we have already engaged with the unions on identifying things that, for example, the ministry does or the government requires that takes up their time. And that compliance workload process is in train. We've got things that we're working on immediately to stop anything that they don't need to do. The government stopped national standards because teachers said that was adding to stress and workload. They are reviewing the NCEA in order to reduce workload for secondary school teachers. So I do think there are ways that we can think about how to address workload, which just is not just more money.
Well, I come back to my point, because if you add in that that the government has also spent more money on teacher support, considerable amount, more, hundreds of millions, are teachers being unreasonable with these demands?
Teacher support, do you mean the $135 million on teacher supply? So that's in order to recruit teachers. There's always a recruitment budget. There's no question that we had to recruit from overseas because there had been a shortfall in the past.
Sure, but back to my point, that the government has provided that.
Yes.
Are teachers being unreasonable with their demands, given that you've just outlined a bunch of things that they're getting assistance with that are dealing with this extra workload issues? Are teachers being unreasonable with this strike?
I think it is time for the teachers to think about what they can get out of this settlement, and it is time for us to sit down and work out what else we can do over and above it that doesn't cost a lot more money.
What are parents to make of this? From what we see anecdotally and news clips, parents seem to be, or people seem to be on board with teachers. Do you get that sense?
I'd be surprised if they weren't, and I'm pleased to hear that. And as I said at the beginning, I think we all agree that our teachers are really important, and so is their well-being. And that's why we already spend, you know, $84 billion a year in schooling. So what we've just seen, last year we spent $84 billion, mainly on teacher salaries and operationals. In addition to that, as you've mentioned, $135 million this year on teacher supply, another $500 million in recent times on learning support. So it's not that this is an unimportant area. The $1.2 million for salaries is on top of all of that. So that's what we start with. What are we using the 80.4 for?
Sure, but what it suggests, though, if as you agree that the parents are supportive here of teachers, is that there is a recognition that this has been the teachers have fallen behind over the course of decades, and there is a recognition that must be addressed. So teachers are going to feel emboldened by that, and that this strike action could continue for a lot longer.
Well, it's possible. I mean, I don't know how many people know that a basic trained primary teacher from this offer will end up with $83,000 a year, or that a basic secondary school teacher will have $85,000.
Well, some might expect that they should be getting that.
Well, that's good, but that's what the offer will give those, and that's at the bottom end. So I do think that when anybody asks, you know, do you think people should be paid more money, I imagine most people would say yes.
So you think that even though the public is on board with teachers, they're not that's because they don't realise how much teachers are going to get?
No, I don't. I think people do absolutely value the role of teachers, and I think they should.
Just finally, facilitated bargaining, the facilitation, what, it sounds good, but what actually can that achieve? I mean, there's nothing mandatory or there's no compulsion from this, is there?
No, but there's a moral persuasion, I suppose, is the best way to put it. And certainly it's the highest authority we have in the country to try and break a deadlock like this. So it's important that we make best use of it.
But am I right in thinking that you've already been through this process to an extent and that there was a moral persuasion, if you like, telling the teachers that they were being unreasonable and they didn't listen?
In the case of the primary teachers, we have been there, and that's why I'm suggesting that we need to use the time with the facilitator to look at other things.
So what would be so if the facilitation comes out and says the government should pay more money, you go with that, or vice versa, says it's reasonable, you will accept what they say?
It's not binding on either party, but both parties go in good faith. And certainly at this stage, we would be arguing, as we did the first time, that the offer that we're making is fair and reasonable in relation to others.
And you want the teachers to accept what that facilitation comes up with?
Well, what we want the facilitation to do is go beyond what we've talked about to date and talk about what sort of process we might agree in over the next little while to look at other issues.
And the advice to parents on May 29th?
May 29th, we've asked school boards, as they are required to do, to try and keep schools open with supervision. Otherwise, parents will have to make other arrangements.
And that was the Secretary for Education, Iona Halstead. We'll speak to the unions a bit later on in the program as well.